Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace, because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now, and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF, and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and there's Jerry over there, and this is Stuff You Should Know.
Can I tell people what just happened?
Sure.
After, what, going on 14 years?
Coming up, yeah, I guess in April.
Jerry hit record, and you went, hey, everybody. And you went, wait.
I've been having a lot of trouble with my brain lately. I think I'm just...
Hey, I think you're doing great.
I don't know if I told you. Thank you. I think you're doing great, too. I don't know if I told you, but I had trouble remembering how to, what, 6 + 7 added together, too? Did I tell you that the other day?
That sounds familiar.
That really bothered 13. Me, man. Yeah. And that's, like, my favorite number, and it's I just couldn't do it.
I was putting my daughter to bed the other night, and as she was going to sleep, literally falling asleep, mm-hmm. Daddy, what's 4 + 4? It's 8. What's 6 + 2? It's also 8. Okay. She's learning math, and, you know, that first stuff you learn is literally just that simple addition.
Yeah.
And it's just funny to think about, like, wow, that's what's on her mind right now.
Yeah. But also she's learning acceptance, too. Just unquestioning.
Yeah. Can I tell people how you spelled this document that you sent my way for this noise pollution episode?
Sure. Boy, you're just laying it all out there, aren't you?
It was fun because it looked like a heavy metal band. It was N-O-I-Z-E, P-O, I think it was P-O-L-L-U-S-H-U-N.
Yeah.
And looking at it on paper, I was like, oh, man, that's a good bad band name.
It is. Like, that's a good name for a made-up band in a movie.
Like Wild Stallions.
Yes.
Bill and Ted.
Yeah, although that's tough to compete with, you know?
It is.
I also think we should give a little COA here. I think it's 100% impossible for you and I not to turn into old men complaining about, like, loud music and loud mufflers and stuff in this episode. So it's going to happen. I think everybody sure. who knows us and saw the title of this one knew it was going to happen, but let's just put it on the table now.
Well, and it's also funny you mentioned this because I did mention noise pollution. I introduced that concept to my daughter the other day and said, you know, she was like, well, what's that? And I said, well, it's as bad as trash on the road, but mm-hmm. it's noise that's doing it. Mm-hmm. And you should be aware of it. And she was like, oh, okay. And I guess it never occurred to me that, like, loud noises for kids, unless it's something that really bothers them, is just part of life.
Sure. It definitely seems to become more bothersome the older you get.
Absolutely.
I don't know why, but I'm going to hypothesize that it's because you grow to learn that it doesn't have to be that way. And you come to really resent the things and the people who are making it so.
Yeah. And I think that's why one reason people retire to the country or something like that if they've lived in the city their whole life. Mm-hmm. Just a little more tranquil, perhaps even bucolic lifestyle.
Yeah.
Quieter. And there's a lot of science behind it. It's not just like, oh, I don't want to hear those noises. As you will see throughout this episode, it's bad for your health.
Hey, speaking of retirement, have you seen that documentary on the Villages?
I have.
It is bonkers.
Yeah, I saw it. Actually, when I had COVID, I went on a documentary binge, mm-hmm. and that was one of them.
Man, it was like one of the most disturbing documentaries I've ever seen. And I've seen like Dear Zachary, and somehow it was like up there with it.
It was good, man. I don't want to give you anything, but the one guy that was, you know, the sort of
the
disco,
van guy?
Disco stew.
Sure, yeah.
It's kind of funny at first, but then that got really sad too.
Yes.
So a lot of layers in
all
that
of it was incredibly sad. It was
highly recommended.
Yeah. Just bizarre, man. And then I was watching the credits and I saw Darren Aronofsky was an executive producer. I'm like, okay, here we go. Nothing suddenly clicked a little more.
I thought a great idea for a movie would be a setting like that. You couldn't call it that because it's, I'm sure, proprietary, but
the town.
A setting just like that where they wake up one day and there's been a murder. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, Kyle MacLachlan, it's kind of a Twin Peaksy thing, you know, sure. The stranger from a strange land comes in to investigate a murder in a very unlikely place. Mm-hmm. And all the sort of weirdos there. I think that would be a cool movie.
Yeah.
Or TV show.
Sure. Well, I mean, that is Twin Peaks, basically.
Right. But you could, if you set it in a retirement community in Florida, people wouldn't recognize that.
You could just walk away, dusting your hands off, like, job well done.
There's plenty of things that have done that. It's not just Twin Peaks.
Sure, I know. Just nobody did it better than Twin Peaks, I think.
Agreed. All right. So noise pollution. I think the fact of the podcast to me came right up front in that I never thought of the fact that a decibel was a tenth of a bull.
Mm-hmm.
Or a bell.
Mm-hmm. Which is named
after. And it's got Desi right there.
Yeah, I know. I'd never thought of it either because you never hear of any other variation. It's like 1 decibel, 10 decibels, 100 decibels, you know?
Yeah.
And apparently a bull or a bell, B-E-L, is named after Alexander Graham Bell too.
Didn't know that either.
And the reason why a decibel is used, which is 1/10 of a bell, is because a decibel, a 1/10 of a bell difference in sound is the smallest difference that humans can detect.
Right.
So we trade in decibels here on the human level.
And we trade in an algorithm when we talk decibels, because it's one of those weird things where it's not like 100 decibels isn't twice as loud as 50 decibels. Mm-hmm. It's spit into an equation that's actually 100,000 times as loud.
Yeah. So like 10 decibels, the difference between 10 decibels and 20 decibels is 20 decibels is 10 times louder. The difference between 10 decibels and 30 decibels is 100 times louder. It's logarithmic.
Right. And 0 dBs, as we'll call them, that is the threshold of human hearing, period. And 140 decibels is about where you can start to experience literal physical pain from a sound.
Yeah, I saw between 120 and 140.
Yeah, it ranges. Like, I mean, I've been to some loud concerts in small venues.
Yeah, Dinosaur Jr. at Variety Theater was it for me.
I was just about to say Dinosaur Jr. They're one of the legendary loud bands.
It was insane.
It is super loud, but it's not, like, I don't remember feeling pain, but I do remember feeling discomfort at a couple of these where I was like, geez, this is, like, I like my music loud, but this is a little much.
Dude, yeah. Like, I don't wear earplugs. I wore earplugs in that, and I was like, I'm saving myself right now. It was so loud. And I meant to say Variety Playhouse, not Variety Theater.
Yeah, because we played there before. We didn't want to disrespect
No, I know. You know, that Variety place.
But all of this to say, God bless Jay Maskus.
Yeah. No, it was great, but it was really loud.
What about this conversation that we're having? What is that?
Well, it depends. A normal conversation, something around, 60 decibels? And I saw that that's people standing about a meter apart speaking without raising their voices. That's 60 decibels right there for reference.
What about a car?
Cars are about 10 times louder to 1,000 to 1,000 times louder than a normal conversation, depending on the car or the truck, between 70 and 90 decibels.
What about an airplane siren?
So you would think, okay, a normal conversation is 60 decibels. Airplane being 120 decibels is twice as loud. No, my friend, it's 100,000. It's 100,000 times louder. An airplane is 100,000 times louder than a normal conversation if it reaches 120 decibels.
All right. If you've ever been on a tarmac, like a live tarmac, and heard a plane kind of landing or taking off, that's some loud stuff.
Yes.
And that's why they wear those cans on their ears.
Yeah, they definitely should, because we're starting to realize that there's all sorts of hearing loss besides the traditional ones that you can pick up on a regular hearing test. There's something called hidden hearing loss that we're just starting to get our eyes or mind around, where the structure of your hearing apparatus in your ear, the little cilia that's almost like a Venus flytrap trigger hair, but for sound instead, like those things can be intact. But the neurons that form the chain between your ear and your brain can be permanently damaged, so that the sound that gets to your brain is garbled or partially missing. And that's a huge thing, and that can happen at much lower intensity than we understood before. And speaking of intensity, I think we should say real quick, a decibel to us humans, we basically talk in decibels as like a measure of volume, because that's what it appears to like us, like an increase in decibels is an increase in the volume of the sound. But really, what a decibel is measuring is the intensity of the disturbance of the air that something has made. So if you're really close to that disturbance, it's going to be a very intense exposure to your ear. If you're further away, it's going to be a much less intense exposure, because it kind of dissipates over distances. But to you, it's just registering as a difference in volume, where really it's a difference in the intensity of the wave that's being produced that's traveling through the air.
That's right. And this is all sound.
Yes.
That's not noise. No. Noise is different. Noise is what we're talking about mainly. And noise is classified as unwanted sound.
Simple enough.
Yeah, that can vary depending on who you are, obviously. You know, the sound of your significant other's voice after 40 years may be noise to you. Asking for some tea. The sound of a Harley Davidson motorcycle being revved up in front of your house might be noise. Or those blowers that you used to hate and
that's
now
objective.
That you love and use.
I still don't love it. And I went battery powered, but it's still, even while I'm using it, I'm like, I'm a terrible person.
But you get it done quickly, probably, right?
So quick. So quick. I'm like mincing and prancing, just getting it done.
And there's a lot of kinds of different noise. Sometimes, like, let's say you work in a machine shop or something, and you use a machine, like, the sound the machine makes is, like, it's not necessary, but it's a byproduct. It's a result of the machine working correctly. It's not like, well, let's just make this thing loud. It's like, well, I'm sorry, a jackhammer is going to be loud. Mm-hmm. Because that's just the way it goes. You can reference our Jackhammer episode. It was fantastic.
It was so good.
So that sound isn't necessarily noise, but the intensity and repetition of that sound makes it becomes noise.
Yeah, yeah. It's an unwanted intensity, or it can just the sound existing itself, like you're saying, like a leaf blower, just an unwanted existence of sound. So either way, the operative thing is it's unwanted sound. That's the key, right?
Yeah, and this is another cool fact of the episode, I think, is that they think that as late as through the 1940s and into 1950, natural sounds were still the dominant sounds that you heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then things really changed.
Yeah, because there's a big qualifier that a lot of researchers make that, and not everybody does, but that noise is, by definition, human-caused.
Right.
Like either we're yelling or whatever— or one of the machines that we've created is making noise, but that you wouldn't say like the sound of that waterfall is noise. Like we don't think of like natural sounds typically as noise. It's just sounds. And as we'll see, it's probably because we have been living, like our species has been living around those sounds and has definitively excluded them as threatening, so that they don't produce like an irritation in us. They just are sound, almost regardless of how intense they are.
Right. And that, and again, that irritation is subjective, because that rock concert that I enjoy, someone else might call that noise. Mm-hmm. That space shuttle launch that is super loud might be noise to some people, but to others, you know, it's the same sound, but they don't think of it as noise because they're excited and exhilarated in the moment to see and hear that thing.
Yeah. So, you know, the other night, the Inspiration 4 crew came back on the Dragon capsule. Did you watch that?
No. Did you see it live?
We didn't see it because they splashed down in the Atlantic, but we heard the sonic boom it made when it came back into the atmosphere over Florida. It was astounding.
That's awesome.
Did you see that doc?
Love a sonic boom. No, I didn't.
Oh, it's really good. It starts out like, oh, God, this is not good. This is like a terrible corporate ad. And then it really starts to find its feet. It's crazy how it evolves over like just the first couple episodes.
I got to see it.
It's good. It's definitely worth seeing.
What other kinds of noise? You've got industrial noise, which that's classified as kind of from the beginning of the process all the way to the end of any kind of industrial process. Mm-hmm. And that's basically called continuous noise, from, you know, raw materials all the way to the end disposal of whatever byproducts can usually cause a lot of racket.
Yeah. So like, you know, like a generator humming or something like that. There's not a lot of variation in intensity. It's basically mm-hmm. this hum or steam being released or even like a rhythmic, like a something being like hammered. No, not hammered. That's a different, that's called the impulsive noise. But just something that doesn't really vary. It's just kind of a monotonous sound. That's a kind of a subcategory called continuous sound. And it just so happens that most industrial processes are continuous in nature.
Right. Whereas a train going by your house or a plane flying or a car going by or a siren is intermittent.
Yeah. And then also you could probably say like if you held the trigger down on a backpack leaf blower, which again is the worst thing that anyone's ever invented.
Right.
But if you held it down, that would be a continuous sound for the whole time it was going. But no one does that ever. They just rev in this arrhythmic pattern that your brain is just giving its all to trying to find a pattern in.
Yeah.
And so you get worn out and irritated so quickly because of those things because they don't follow rhyme or reason. And in conjunction with that, it's an intermittent sound.
Yeah.
So, which is, from what I can tell, one of the worst sounds for us.
Right. And then you've also got community noise, which is just people noise. I think the leaf blowers are thrown into that. Lawnmowers, you know, if you got a festival in your neighborhood or fireworks on the 4th of July or people playing their music in their cars or their houses, this is all just sort of people generated community sound.
Yeah. So those are basically the three categories that I saw: industrial, traffic, and community.
Should we take a break?
I think we should.
All right. We'll be right back. I've got to go quiet down that racket outside and I'll be right back.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture, shall we? You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing. It's a lifestyle that might not be for you.
That's right, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle.
How? Good question. Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends, all before you head out the door. Your money is a workaholic.
But you don't have to be, because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. So visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
Hey, everybody. You know, asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest.
That's right. They're committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional. They offer financial planning services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances, and they customize them for your needs.
That's right. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more. And that's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Okay, did you finish shaking your fist at those teenagers on your lawn?
I'm lucky because we don't have one neighbor on one side, and our neighbor beside us is pretty quiet. Mm-hmm. But I do live near, and I've talked about it before, a pretty main road. And you kind of get used to it, but I also yearn, you know, to be a few blocks in. But, mm-hmm. you know, you can't pick up your house and move it, so what are you going to do? You get used to it.
You can, but it's really expensive.
Well, no, that is true. You can move a house sometimes.
Didn't we do an episode on that once?
How to move a house?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if we did one just on that. It may have been like historic districts or something. I don't know.
Okay.
And by the way, that episode we couldn't think of the other day was Crumple Zones.
Oh, boy. So we did do a whole episode on Crumple Zones?
We did.
Boy, we were scraping the bottom of the barrel there. But I remember that being an interesting episode, though.
Oh, it was totally interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the stuff you should know way, isn't it, Chuck?
It is indeed. Should we talk about hearing damage?
Yeah. So like I was saying, there's that kind of new type of hearing damage that we're wrapping our minds around that is like the death of the neurons that are supposed to transmit the electrical impulse to the brain. And so we don't hear very well. Our communication is garbled, and yet you can pass a traditional hearing test, no problem. But other research is really starting to unfold like less predictable ways that noise and noise pollution actually affects our health. And it's like our entire system is negatively affected by noise and noise exposure.
It is. And it basically, at the beginning of the whole process, is triggering the same exact thing that triggers your fight or flight response.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're going to have the same reaction to, you know, if you hear a siren go by, the same thing is happening in your, as far as your brain knows, than what happens if like a bear walks up to you and roars.
Right. Yeah. So like our hearing is always on, and it's always on the lookout for a potential threat. And one of the ways that a potential threat can give itself away is by making a sound, right? It was like I was saying earlier, like we've been around waterfalls and the sound of waves in our evolutionary history for so long mm-hmm. that basically it seems like when you're born, you come equipped with this, don't worry about that sound. Actually, you can be soothed by it. It's not something that should stimulate your fight or flight response. But we've lived around industrial machinery and the sound of a text message or a leaf blower, the stupid leaf blowers, for such a little amount of our evolutionary history that our minds are not at all attuned to those things or we haven't kind of adopted this idea that a leaf blower is non-threatening. And so it stimulates the fight or flight response in us when we hear it.
That's right. So you're going to hear that sound. Your amygdala, which we've talked about plenty, contributes to emotional processing, is going to send that same distress signal to the hypothalamus mm-hmm. again mm-hmm. that gets if you are in a fight or flight response, which is why you probably want to run screaming if you hear too many sirens or hear too many leaf blowers.
Sure.
And then that's going to signal your adrenal glands to get your adrenaline going. And I believe cortisol gets going as well.
Yes.
And it's like literally mimicking fight or flight.
Yeah. And so they figured out that like people who are continuously chronically exposed to sound, like say people who live like really close to an airport or really close to the subway tracks, or people who work in a really noisy factory, they have all sorts of crazy random health problems. Like their kids sometimes have low birth weight. Obviously, they can develop tinnitus, heart disease, obesity, diabetes. Their children who are exposed to chronic noise can have cognitive impairments, high blood pressure, like all sorts of crazy stuff. And so you think, well, okay, that's terrible. Anybody who has to live near noise or work near noise, like we should do something about that. But it's even worse than that. Like noise pollution is even more insidious than that, because you don't have to be chronically exposed to it. You don't have to live in a place where you're like, this is an objectively noisy place that I live or work in, to still suffer from the effects of noise pollution.
Yeah, I mean, it can affect you when you're asleep, because like you said, your ears are always on. It's not like you go to sleep and the ears say, well, I'm going to take a nice break. That would be a fantastic evolutionary adaptation, actually.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it would be terrible.
It would these days. It wouldn't
these days. It would
be
great.
The mountain lion, saber-toothed tiger days.
Yeah, it'd be nice if there was a switch and you could kind of control that.
Oh, it'd be so nice. I think the switch is the white noise wave machine is that switch.
Yeah, which I've gotten addicted to such that I have to travel with them now.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, basically.
I've heard that. Yeah, basically once you start, you can't go back.
Yeah, I like it, though. I do brown noise is my drug of choice.
It sounds so gross, though.
Brown. Hey, I make a brown noise every morning, you know what I mean?
Wow, I was not expecting Dangerfield to make an appearance.
Well, that's what you meant, right? Poop or no?
Yeah, I mean, I guess anytime I hear brown, I think it's poop, you know?
You think of that or you think of Ween, the band.
Did they have a brown song or album?
They talk about the brown thing, the brown sound, and brown is just sort of their color and how they used to talk about sound. I've heard other groups talk about brown sound.
So what does brown sound sound like?
Well, brown noise, you know, if white noise is brown noise is
okay.
That's the best way I can describe
middle.
It. Yeah, it's sort of a lower end. And if you actually play it through a speaker, like if you put it on your phone and play it through a little Bluetooth, you can get some good bass, and it really works wonders for me.
I should try brown noise or even white noise. I've been using Chrome noise, where it's like, and it's really not helping me sleep at all.
You're like, I have the sound of a early internet connection being made on a loop.
On a constant loop.
Did they ever name that? They should have named that. It'd be great to.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
call it whatever it was.
They called it the tickety widget.
Right. Interrupted sleep, though. That's the big problem, or one of the big problems, because your ears are always on. If you have uninterrupted sleep or poor sleep overall, you're going to be tired. Obviously,
sure.
Your creativity, your memory can get impaired. Your creativity is going to be low. You're going to have impaired judgment. Your psychomotor skills might be impacted. You might have more headaches. They've done studies. If you live near airports and stuff like that, or you know, next to like a rail yard, you're gonna have more headaches. You might take more sleeping pills as a result. You might be more prone to minor accidents, and you are going to be more prone to seek psychiatric treatment in your life. Like studies have shown this.
Yeah, there's a study of people living near European airports. They found a 10 decibel increase in aircraft noise was associated with a 28% increase in anxiety medication, and that people were also likelier to have, like 25% more likely to have symptoms of depression. So again, all this is just from like having not good sleep, which is bad enough. But apparently, Chuck, it even gets worse, because even if your sleep isn't disturbed, where you're waking up and not getting sleep because of noise.
Right. Like you get used to it, sort of.
Uh-huh. The noise is still affecting you while you're sleeping, because again, your ear never turns off. It's always on the listen out for some sort of threat creeping up on you. And so if you're exposed to noise while you're sleeping, it still has that stress effect on you. And what they figured out is that one of the problems of just being chronically stressed through something like noise, and I think stress in general, is that it affects, I think it's called the endothelium. which is the lining of your blood vessels. And, yeah, and they respond to chemicals that tell them to constrict, to relax. And they get constricted when they get stressed, when they're exposed to stress, like cortisol or something like that comes along and says constrict. And when they do that, you get high blood pressure. You can end up with heart disease. You can end up suffering from heart attacks. And what's insane is they figured out that after one night of being exposed while you're sleeping to something like train sounds, your endothelium starts suffering. Like, it doesn't function as well after just one night of that.
Right. Like, isn't the idea that you can have no other sort of poor health markers and it can actually be brought on because of this noise, right?
Yes. While you're sleeping, you're still getting sleep, but it's still happening to you while you're sleeping. And not only like high blood pressure or like a heart attack or something like that coming down the road, but also like diabetes, obesity. There's a lot of things that we're figuring out are tied to the lining of the blood vessels and whether they're healthy or not. It's a huge predictor of a whole range of diseases. And when you hear noise, that's your stressors trigger your endothelium to constrict, and that is a really bad thing.
It is. Here in the United States, we kind of started studying this stuff in earnest in the 70s. That was when pollution was a big deal, mm-hmm, just all around in the United States. And we started to say things like, hey, maybe you shouldn't just have a family picnic and then just pick up your blanket and dump all the trash on the ground, right, like they did on that episode of Mad Men.
And on Anchorman, when they're all eating McDonald's and they just throw it on the ground in the park.
Window. I saw a guy throw a full McDonald's thing out the window the other day and smashed on the sidewalk.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, who does that still?
Yeah, that's the problem is we're at a place in our country's history where if you confront people like that, there's a chance you're going to get shot for confronting someone like that. But
I don't confront.
But that's like, that is the kind of behavior you should, under normal circumstances, non-shooting circumstances, feel perfectly fine confronting somebody about and being like, what is wrong with you? Like, we're so far beyond that. Like, everyone knows you shouldn't do that. It's just, oh, it drives me insane.
Oh, I got into a good fight with them in my brain.
Yes, I know. Like, what? Like, where's the solution? Where's the answer?
I don't know, man. I think the Zen path is you go pick up that McDonald's cup and throw it away.
Totally.
And say a prayer for that person. Sure. Good luck. New York is where they started studying this stuff in the 70s because it was kind of wrapped up, like I said, folded into larger pollution studies. They're like, well, we might as well talk about noise pollution.
Sure.
New York is the place to do it. And they did, there were a couple of studies in the 1970s about subway noise that really sort of gave, put the whole thing on some terra firma, mm-hmm, as far as the health effects and learning effects. In the case of kids at PS 98 in Manhattan, it was very close to the train tracks there, the subway train tracks.
Like real close.
Yeah, like 220 feet away. And they found, and this is pretty startling, they found that the kids that were closest to the train tracks, mm-hmm, were 11 months behind their classmates that were on the other side of the school.
Yeah, not in another school, just on the other side of the school.
Yeah, almost a full, well, I mean, that is basically a full school year.
Yeah.
Because, with summers off and stuff, that's an academic year, right, plus.
Yeah.
That they were behind, and they installed acoustic tiles in the classroom and some dampening devices. And they did a follow-up study, and the gap had closed, basically. So, there's proof right there. Like, your kids are not learning as well if they're near that subway noise.
Mm-hmm. There's another kind of landmark study in the 70s in New York that established the concept of noise pollution at a place called The Bridges, an apartment high-rise or a cluster of them in Manhattan that I believe 95 maybe drives under or really, really close. And the traffic noise is so bad that even as high up as the eighth floor, the traffic sound is about the level of a vacuum cleaner. And like just sitting in your apartment, you have to raise your voice to be heard. Which, just the stress of that I can't imagine. Like, that's an inhabitable, uninhabitable place. I believe people are still living there as well. But the study found that children living there were far behind at reading comprehension, at listening comprehension, and just weren't learning as quickly as other kids their age who did not live in the Bridges. So those two studies together from New York kind of establish this idea like, okay, there's a real problem with noise pollution. And then it just went away for many, many years until about 2011, when the WHO, there was a bunch of other studies, a lot of the other ones that we've referenced so far came out around 2010, 2011, 2013. I'm not sure what exactly kicked it off, but there was a big spate of them. But then the WHO released a really big report. Not the WHO, the band, the World Health Organization.
Yeah, they're another loud band, actually.
And they felt terribly guilty about causing hearing loss in their fans. So they launched this study of basically all of Western Europe. They looked at, I think, something like 500 different studies and did a meta-analysis of them to calculate what's called the disability-adjusted life years, or dailies, that were lost in Europe every year to noise pollution.
Yeah, and the idea of a daily is they basically say it's like the healthy years of your life that end up being lost to this human-made noise that you're living with.
Right.
And it's kind of a sort of an esoteric way to think about it. But once you wrap your head around it, it makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
But they found that at least 1 million healthy years of life are lost every single year, only just in Europe, due to noise pollution. And 1 million healthy years of people's lives annually.
Yeah. And that means because of all of the disease burden that noise pollution produces in humans, that's how much of our healthy lifespan is shaved off every year collectively, or how much Europe's is. And they did a follow-up study in 2018, Chuck, and found that, we got it wrong. It's 1.8 million dailies are lost in Western Europe alone each year. So they definitely established through these couple of WHO studies, like, noise pollution is still a thing, and we should probably do something about it. And there was another study that was released this past year that said, yes, dailies are significant, but we may have found a link that shows that noise pollution can actually straight up kill you under some circumstances, potentially.
Yeah, and this one was... This is pretty startling because they looked at not necessarily heart attack, but nighttime deaths. No, I guess it was heart attacks.
Yes.
But if you die overnight, die in your sleep, quote unquote, from heart attacks, and the link to commercial aircraft flying over your house. And I guess they had a way to sort of cancel out all the other factors. And they got down to the nitty gritty that 3% of all nighttime deaths from heart attacks can be attributed to the sound of aircraft flying overhead while you're sleeping.
Yep. That is just like, that was it. That was the last stress response that your body could handle, and you had a heart attack and died from that sound. And they said, like, okay, we found a definite correlation. But if there is causation here, then we can chalk up about 3% of those. That's astounding.
It is astounding. We're going to take a break. That's the human grossness. And we'll talk about the awful things that we're doing to our animal friends and nature right after this. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
Hey, everybody. You know, asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest.
That's right. They're committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional. They offer financial planning services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances, and they customize them for your needs.
That's right. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more. And that's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. We talked about a lot of studies that basically all added up to noise pollution, very bad for human beings, mm-hmm. like literally bad for their health. Mm-hmm. And I know we've talked about a few of these before over the years, especially when it comes to whales. Mm-hmm. But all manner of Mother Nature are impacted by this noise. They did a study in the early 2000s about stress hormones. What kind of whales were they?
Right whales.
Right whales in the Bay of Fundy. Mm-hmm. And they saw, and this is remarkable, they saw a really weird, unexplained decline in the stress hormone concentrations that went away and then came back up again. And they eventually realized it was a halt in the shipping in the bay after 9/11 happened.
Yeah, because shipping is probably humans' noisiest marine endeavor that we do all the time, constantly. And the idea of a break in that being connected to a huge decline in stress hormones and whale poop, that's significant. But it was an accidental discovery. And I think it led other people to start studying stuff like that, like the effects of noise on wildlife. And there was this, I think, University of Idaho. I'm sorry if it's Idaho State. Please don't be mad.
I think it's Idaho.
Okay. A study from 2012 where researchers set up what they called a phantom road, which is basically they affixed a line of loudspeakers to some trees out in the wilderness that stretched about a half a mile in length. And they just played road and traffic noise, and not like city stuff, just like the kind of stuff that possibly a remote road through the wilderness would sound like, because they recorded it in Glacier National Park on a road there. And just from that, just from like this rural Glacier National Park road noise, something like more than a quarter of all the birds in the area just left. They were like, we're moving.
Yeah.
We're going to Canada. That's what everybody in the United States says.
Yeah, you know, I think I definitely noticed, and I heard other people talk about in like April of last year, mm-hmm. when things really slowed down commuter and traffic-wise due to the pandemic, mm-hmm. And I don't think it was just our imaginations, but there was a lot more bird activity going right. on. And I remember, I remember us even talking about it. Or maybe it was just quieter for us, so we noticed them more, or maybe a combination of both. But mm-hmm. there was a difference. And when shipping stops after 9/11, or when traffic stops, nature says, "Oh, the human a-holes are gone. Now we can start behaving normally again."
Yeah, like things are back to normal. And that's just on land. Also, they found that Idaho study found that the birds that stuck around lost a bunch of weight, which they would have needed to migrate. So maybe they couldn't leave even if they wanted to. But that was a land study. There's been other studies on land, but it seems like we're doing a lot of damage to marine ecosystems as well, like probably even more, because sound waves travel in water a lot better than light, which means that most of the animals that live in the water have really sensitive hearing. That's what they've evolved to use to communicate and listen out for, right? So when we make noise, it's really problematic in marine ecosystems.
Yeah, and we make a lot of noise. I mean, that shipping activity we talked about is super disruptive mm-hmm. to anything underwater. When they search for mineral deposits on the seafloor or under the seafloor, mm-hmm. they use these seismic air guns that are, you can hear those things, like a fish can hear that thousands of miles away. Mm-hmm. Very disruptive. Sonar, I know we talked about sonar in an episode years ago and how that affected marine life. I can't remember what it was.
Did we do an entire episode on the time they blew up the beached whale, like what to do with a beached whale?
Maybe.
I think we did.
But they basically kind of say now, like, they think the reasons whales beach themselves is because of these noises, and sonar is a big culprit.
Right. Like, it just drives them out of the water, which sounds bonkers, but if you ever think about how humans sometimes jump from tall buildings rather than being burned by the intensity of a fire, I think it's virtually yeah. the same principle.
Sure.
So we have become aware of just how much noise pollution affects not just us, but the environment as well. Like it is a form of pollution. And it seems like, you know, it started to accumulate in the last few years. But really, we've known for a good 50 years that noise pollution is really bad for everybody. And yet we've done almost nothing about it. But we had the start, Chuck. We started out like we were going to, like almost immediately when we realized how bad noise pollution was in the 70s, we started to do something about it. And the federal government passed like three, and actually I saw a fourth one, huge acts that had to do with basically controlling noise pollution.
Yeah, either controlling noise pollution for people in general or through OSHA, making sure people were working in safe conditions. Mm-hmm. Or at least had, you know, the ear cans and things they needed to work safely.
Yeah.
And it was, like you said, it was headed in the right direction. We knew it was bad and we were trying to stop it. And then the Reagan administration came along and said, nuts to that. Mm-hmm. That's federal regulation. Let's just leave it to the states, because you ask any governor of any state and they'll tell you their citizens know to do the right thing and they'll do that right thing. And so we'll just leave it up to the states and let them... they volunteered to phase itself out. The Office of Noise and Abatement Control, mm-hmm. It, on paper, still exists. But Congress said, you know, let's just not fund them anymore. And let's keep these laws on the books, but really not worry about it too much, because the states will take care of it, right? Because states always do the right thing.
Yeah. And the states, of course, did absolutely nothing. And it's partially because they can't do a lot about it. A lot of noise is really best understood, studied, and regulated by the federal government. Like Georgia has a bunch of money reserved to study the effects of noise on humans. Like, no, that's totally a federal kind of thing to do, you know? And that's what some of those 70s acts set up, like that Office of Noise Abatement and Control, or Noise Control and Abatement. Like, its purpose was to study that kind of stuff. That's not what states do. So the states have, well, not the states, but usually more municipalities and counties, they have taken steps to kind of mitigate sound pollution, noise pollution. There's usually regulations on how early or late a landscaping crew can work within the city limits. Or some of them say, like, you can't boom your stereo, or you're not allowed to have that broken glass muffler on your Harley. Like, there's some stuff like that. But then, like, if you live kind of under a flight path, if your town wanted to say, you know what, you can't fly over our town and wake everybody up between, you know, 12 at night and 7 in the morning, you can't fly an airplane over it, the airplanes would just be like, I didn't hear you, sorry, I was listening to the feds who say you can't make laws like that.
Yeah, and you know, I get the feeling with municipalities, it is more like complaints from neighbors kind of noise. Mm-hmm. Or the lawn crews and construction, like you were saying, unless like stuff with big teeth. Recently, weird reason I won't get into, but I was looking up noise ordinances in Athens, Georgia. And they're kind of funny when you look at these noise ordinances. It's like, it literally said, like, you know, walking down the sidewalk, yelling at one another, talking about basically drunk kids,
sure.
You know, like the French Quarter kind of thing. Uh-huh. It said, you know, this includes hooting and hollering. And it was something about being able to hear you from like 300 feet away, mm-hmm. but or noise from your apartment. But it's, you know, it's like good luck with that. Like you can call the cops on someone, maybe.
Yeah.
But there's no teeth or enforcement kind of with a lot of this stuff, aside from singling out people when it happens in the moment, and you may get a cop come by and say, turn it down.
But even if there's a will to do something, it depends on if it's like rail traffic or air traffic. Like the federal government ties local
oh, sure.
towns and counties' hands. Like they can't do anything about it. And there's, as a result, there's a lot of noise pollution that people can't do anything about. There's a town in Canada, I can't remember the name of it, but it's got like a rail system that goes through it, and it doesn't have like alarms or like the arms that come down. So trains mm-hmm. have to honk their horns at least three times as they cross through this town. And there's a bunch wow. of different crossings, and they calculated that train horns blare 1,200 times a day in this wow. little tiny town. And that's, like, obviously everybody's yeah. going nuts, but they can't do anything about it because the federal government of Canada is in charge of regulating rail travel like every other developed or industrialized country.
Yeah, and even if it's something like OSHA and like you work in a loud factory and they're trying to regulate that, they say that A, they don't cover all industries they should cover. Mm-hmm. And when they do, it's very inconsistently applied. And even when they do apply it inconsistently, they say that these limits aren't even low enough to protect all the workers anyway from hearing loss. It said OSHA regulations allow workers to be exposed to 95 decibels for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week for your entire 40-year career.
That's insane.
And that's like you're going to suffer from hearing loss if that's the case.
Yeah, that's like holding a leaf blower right next to you for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week for 40 years. Like, of course you're to lose your hearing. Like, that's crazy.
Well, and then factor in the other health effects that no one ever talks about that we mentioned in the whole first half of this thing. Mm-hmm. And you have an unhealthy population if you're stuck in one of those places.
Yeah. So we can sit here and kvetch all day, which we would love to do, but there are solutions to this. But I want to point out one more time, all these solutions are zero thanks to the Reagan administration. Instead, there's some simple stuff you can do to help us humans, like you can change aircraft routes, you can build barriers along roadways and railways, mm-hmm. You can even green it up. Like they found that if you use shrubbery and trees mixed together so that they basically produce a fence, and you plant them close to the road or close to the railway rather than close to the place that you're trying to protect, they do pretty good at reducing the decibels of the sound, the noise pollution coming from mm-hmm. the traffic. That's some easy stuff you can do. And then on the user end, on the individual's end, there's all sorts of like acoustic insulation and paneling you can add to your house to make it a little more soundproof and quieter. What about those mufflers, Chuck?
Car mufflers?
Yeah. So apparently the ones that make the sound are not good.
Yeah, I mean, they could change that. The EPA could get involved and say, you know what, you can't have those kind of mufflers anymore.
Mm-hmm. Thank God if they did.
As, as far as the shipping go, I know it's always like a Honda Civic or something that yeah. it's like tricked out like it's some kind of race car.
Right.
As far as the water goes and the shipping stuff like that, those big ships, they found that if they separate the ship's engine from the hull, they are quieter, much quieter. And they even found that there is, I think there's a 75% reduction in acoustic energy, 6 to 8 decibels, which is significant.
Mm-hmm.
And they also found that it is less fuel efficient. And if they like retrofitted or kind of changed the way they built these ships, I don't know if you can, well, I guess you can retrofit some
well,
of them.
Well, yeah, the propellers are what's making them less fuel efficient. So you can, not easily, but you can take off the old propellers and put on new ones.
Right, but it costs a lot of money up front. Like, they will save in the long run. Mm-hmm. And I think, is it pronounced Maersk, the big shipping company?
Yeah.
They spent $100 million to do just 11 of its ships. So that gives you the idea of how much it costs.
Mm-hmm.
There may be some efficiencies if they did more or something, but it's not cheap. And they have 740 ships. They've done 11. So,
well, I did see that is actually a very small fraction of all of the ships involved in shipping that are responsible for the vast majority of the noise. So if you did just focus on the worst offenders, it would have a significant impact.
Yeah.
There's also a huge amount of noise, apparently, underwater noise that comes from offshore wind farms because of the pile driver that is moved by up and down by the blades to help produce the electricity to move the turbine, right?
That's right.
And they found that if you just put a perforated pipe around the pile driver is going to produce bubbles, and those bubbles will dissipate the noise, almost all the noise. I think like 95% of the noise coming from those offshore wind farms. That's a really simple, easy solution.
Just do it, people.
Yeah, and there's one other thing that I hadn't thought about, but I saw a couple places, and it really makes sense, is that the noise pollution we're contributing to marine ecosystems in particular is just such low-hanging fruit that there's no reason we shouldn't do this. There's some really easy stuff we can do. Like, even rerouting shipping lanes is one thing we can do. And that by doing that, it will actually stabilize marine ecosystems and marine life so that it'll buy us a little time while we're figuring out much trickier stuff like ocean acidification and things that are also threats to it. So it's like just yes. Removing noise pollution would really go a long way toward extending the, I guess, the health and vitality of the oceans while they're, you know, while we're combating climate change.
I love it. Let's get all these things going. Our health is suffering.
Let's start with the mufflers.
Yeah, that's just annoyance and health.
Yep. Well, since Chuck said that's just annoyance, of course, everybody, that means it's time for listener mail.
This one's pretty short and sweet. I just love it when we get an answer about something. I think I might have known this at some point, but we talked about shrinking as humans.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from Steve in Roscoe, Illinois. He says, I've been a longtime listener. Never had a reason to reach out, but you hit my area of expertise. I'm a physical therapist, and while listening to the episode about crash testing, you ask, why do we shrink when we get older? What happens as we age, guys, is the intervertebral discs in our back lose hydration, and as a result, we shrink.
Huh.
There are 6 discs in the cervical spine, 12 discs in the thoracic spine, and 5 discs in the lumbar. If each disc were to lose a minimum of 1/16 of an inch in height, that adds up pretty quickly, and you can easily lose an inch plus in your lifetime.
Wow.
The other thing to consider as we age is our muscles and tissues get tighter, pulls us into positions of poor posture.
Mm-hmm. Sarcopenia.
That's right. And this restricts our ability to stand up straight. You combine all these things together, and all of a sudden, Josh isn't going to hit his goal height of 6 feet.
I have to stand on my tippy toes now.
Thanks for all the good work. I hope I didn't step on the toes of a future short stuff. I think we just did it, Steve. That's Steve Marima, or Marima, from Roscoe, Illinois.
Thanks a lot, Steve. That was a good email. We appreciate that big time. And if you haven't stumbled upon it yet, you should check out our episode on sarcopenia. It is old, but it was interesting.
Yeah. And if you have any physical therapy needs in Illinois, give Steve a call. Sounds like a good guy.
Yeah. Head to beautiful Roscoe, Illinois.
Come on.
If you want to be like Steve from Roscoe and give us some more info that we were asking for, we love that kind of stuff. You can send it to us via email to stuffpodcast@iheartradio.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health 8 kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro. Pairs well with anything. Pro. Probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health-Aid Kombucha today.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.